Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So they have a strong shepherd now. We see the last shepherd was Moses and then Joshua, and then we got judges because they had dispersed throughout the countryside, and the judges were more of champions. They would go and deal with problems. But Samuel becomes more of a shepherd again. He keeps a tight hand on them. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron, even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpeh and judged Israel in all those places. And that's something we don't see described in the book of Judges, that Samuel was an active judge. Mm-hmm. He went from here to there to here to there, constantly vigilant to try to keep these people in line. Mm-hmm. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Chapter 8, 1 Samuel. Came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Lucre is money. Same thing that Phinehas was doing at the tabernacle, him and his brother. They're making gods, the religion of worshiping Jehovah, into a money-making operation. We see it didn't go well for Phinehas. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voices of the people in all that they say unto thee. They have not rejected thee, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That's all God ever wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So why he had them build the tabernacle, he wanted to be among them and be their king. Now they're asking Samuel for a king, and God says, Go ahead and give them one. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. You know, your sons are not fit to take over for you. You're old. Give them the king that they want. Let's see how this plays out. Yeah, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. These are a stiff-necked people, God has said many times. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Give them the king, but tell them it's not a good idea. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people, and asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. Some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties. Will set them to ear his ground, plow his ground. King James is often very strange with some of its words. Ear, plant corn and make ears. Ear the ground. If you don't look very carefully, you maybe get a picture of guys laying on the ground with their ears to the ground trying to hear what's going on in the countryside. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. To reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be his confectionaries. And to be his cooks, and to be his bakers, and he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive gardens, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. He will take your men servants, and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. He says, you will lose every freedom that you have.
And your children.
And yeah, your children. He'll take the best of everything that you have. You'll lose all of your freedoms. He'll take a tenth of everything that you own. That's okay. Give us a king. Mm-hmm. We want a king because the Amorites have a king. The Philistines have a king. We want a king. We don't care what he does to us.
No inner compass.
No. Yeah. That we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We want to be like them. God doesn't want you to be like them. They're not a very functioning society. God wants you to have him for a king. No, we want to be like them. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Talked it over with God. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. You shall have a king. Chapter 9, 1 Samuel, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Glad you could be with us here today. God's amazing manuscript of truth. The guidepost to eternity. This is a temporary life that you're living. The real life is yet to come. This life is a testing ground to prove that you can partake in eternal life, or unfortunately need to be condemned to eternal damnation. Which is it going to be? Chapter 9. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Man, it's interesting that God chose to take the king out of the tribe of Benjamin. We see a few chapters back in Judges, where the Israelites totally devastated the tribe of Benjamin, almost wiped them out, down to like 400 guys. Mm-hmm. And then had the Benjamites go and steal some women, because they all swore they'd never give another wife to a Benjamite. Go and steal some women during God's ceremony, once a year sacrifice ceremony. Go and steal those women that come there and repopulate your tribe. So, there was a man in the name of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zerah, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. So he was a big deal. He's a wealthy guy. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upwards, he was higher than any of these people. Mm. What this is saying is here, he's very handsome, very tall, and his stature is probably very muscular, well built. This is like the poster child for the king that you would want. Can you imagine seeing him in a suit of armor? Oh man, he would be a king. He would scare the Philistines off just him walking out there.
Him, yeah. Him doing it, right?
So God chose them a pretty person.
Yep.
And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, and go seek the asses. Go find them donkeys. And he passed through the Mount of Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem. And there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites. But they found them not. When they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Our father's going to think we're dead. Mm-hmm. We don't get back. Forget these donkeys. And he said unto them, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither and peradventure pretend he can show us our way that we should go. Let's go ask the holy man. Then Saul said to his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What we have, we got to give him an offering if we want an answer. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here in hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, Come and let us go to the seer, for that he that is now called a prophet from before time was called a seer.
Huh, that's the first time that's popped out to me.
Yeah. Then said Paul to his servants, Well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was, and as they went up to the hill of the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? And they answered them and said, He is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he come today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come unto the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he doth bless and sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that is bidden. Now therefore get ye up, for about this time ye shall find him. Ah, yeah, he's right over there. He's coming here today for this ceremony. You better hurry. They went up into the city. When they were come unto the city, behold, Samuel came out against them, for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. Thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, king over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake of thee, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go, will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Come on up and have dinner with me. Then I'm going to tell you some stuff, Saul. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and all thy father's house? Ooh, I bet that blew Saul's mind.
Mm-hmm.
What? All of Israel is thinking about me and my father's house?
Mm-hmm.
What in the world?
Not to mention, you know, they've been out looking for the asses and stuff like that. And he's like, hey, by the way,
yeah,
we found them for you.
Yeah.
Like, how would he know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a seer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Remember what he said? They had wiped them out. And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Why would everyone be looking to me for anything? Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them unto the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, Set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day, the choicest piece, the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
When they were come down from the high place unto the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. They arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day, Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, he and Samuel abroad. As they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, Book of 1 Samuel. Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Very important what he just did. He anointed, the priest of God anointed this man with oil to be king. just like they would anoint the priests. And David will refer back to this act many times when he has the opportunity to take Saul's life. How dare I, even though Saul's trying to kill him, how dare I touch the anointed one of God? That is an everlasting salvation scripture right there. Once you belong to God, no matter how decrepit you may become, you belong to God. He'll even cause your flesh to be killed before your soul is taken. Eternal salvation. When your heart truly follows God, you have eternal salvation. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zorah. And they shall say unto thee, you remember Rachel? Remember when Jacob? Jacob loved Rachel. He didn't despise Leah, but he didn't really care for her, right, even though Leah was the one who had the good heart and was the wonderful wife, but Rachel was the sexy little mama.
Right.
And that's the one that Jacob adored. But you see, Rachel caused Jacob so much trouble. When Leah died, he buried her in Abraham's tomb.
Yep. Yes, sir.
When Rachel died, they were traveling along the road. They said, hey, dig a hole over there by that tree.
Yep.
Put her in it. Well, yep. Apparently they have a rock there or something, right, sepulcher.
That's like you said, out of their sight, the way they used to do burial.
Yep.
But, yep.
But he didn't make the effort to take Rachel to the family tomb.
Right.
Yeah. By Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelah, at Zelta. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall say, prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. He's telling him all of this, what's going to happen to him in the coming hours, so that he will believe that this is from God. You're going to go and meet these guys, they're going to do this. You're going to meet these guys, they're going to do this. You're going to meet these prophets, and you're going to prophesy. Saul is changed. The spirit within him is changed, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you shall be turned into another man.
A rebirth.
Yes. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do an occasion serve thee. For God is with thee. Thou shalt go down before me into Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so, and when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. God is filled this man with a spirit to do his will. Even though God didn't want them to have a king, he's going to pacify his people. He gave them a very pretty man of great stature, and he's put a better heart inside of him. When they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. It came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. And the people said one to another, what is this thing that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And you're going to see here in a minute that Saul was kind of a quiet and not so willing to speak, a little like a scaredy cat before. Mm-hmm. They said, what in the world? This is not the son of Kish. He's not like that. You know, you go to a party or something, he don't say anything. You go to a public forum, he don't speak up. just kind of stands back in the shadows. And one of the same place Abner said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? When he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found. But of the matter of the kingdom, whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. So he hadn't told him that he's going to be anything other than anointed at this moment. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the kingdoms of them that oppress you. Ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all the adversities and your tribulations. Ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. You have shown God over and over again, you don't want him to be your leader. You don't want him to be your king. You've said, put a man over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Samuel already knows who is going to be king. He's already anointed him. But he has to make it look like he looked at the entire congregation for a king. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of the Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Metri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Mm-hmm. He's figured it out, and he don't want nothing to do with it.
Yep.
When they picked Benjamin, he's getting a little suspicious. When they picked his family, he's... oh, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Mm-hmm. He done hid himself in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
This is Israel's king.
Yeah, I know what Moses went through.
They ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen? Is there none like him among all the people? And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. And Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, laid it upon before the Lord. Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. I'm king. I'm going home. I'll see you guys.
Yeah. It's a good day.
And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched, because he didn't have a clue. He's
right.
Going home.
Right.
God turns the hearts of these men to get him to actually start forming a government. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. Remember the children of Belial, Jonathan?
Yep.
The original SOBs,
that's right.
Worthless individuals. He already has a portion of the population that doesn't like him. Oh, man. 1 Samuel is an amazing book. Lots of things in here. Been good to be with you today. Any day in God's Word is a good day. You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Catch us next time. 1 Samuel will be on chapter 11. Go back and catch the earlier episodes on WVFFradio.com. We'd love to have you catch up with us and spend every day with us. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.